Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Let's bow our head for prayer. Father, we thank you again for this day. We know this is the day that you have made. I pray you would help us to rejoice and be glad in it. I do thank you for the ones that are present here this morning. I thank you that we have the freedom to be here. Thank you that we have this place to meet. And Lord, I do pray that we've all come with the right attitude, with the right spirit. We've come with a hunger in our heart, most especially to hear the word of God. And I do pray that you would open our ears, that we can hear what you have for us. Help us, Lord, most especially to apply it to our lives. And Lord, I pray if there's somebody here today that's not saved, that this day would be their day of salvation. Lord, I do pray that you would speak to their heart through the preaching of the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, that you would help them before they leave to put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask you to please help me as I preach. Help me to say, Lord, exactly what you want said. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you do a synopsis of the Gospels, which simply means that you read and compare the four Gospels, one thing you learn is that the writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, recorded seven sayings that were uttered by our Lord while hanging on the cross. Luke recorded three of these here in the 23rd chapter of his gospel. The first one is in verse number 34, where Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. One thing that saying shows us is that Jesus did not condemn those responsible for his death. Instead of asking his father to bring condemnation on his executioners, he asked his father for forgiveness. And I don't know about any of you, I can't speak for anybody but myself, I'm thankful to God this morning that Jesus Christ is a forgiving Savior. I'm thankful for that. But this shows us that Jesus didn't condemn those responsible for his death. The third one is in verse number 46, where again, the Lord Jesus addresses his Father, and he says, Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. This shows that the Lord Jesus was in control of his death. He said, into thy hands I commend my spirit. It goes on to say in the verse that he gave up the ghost. So the Lord Jesus was in absolute and complete control of his death. As he said in John chapter 10, he had the power to lay down his life, and thank God he had the power to take it again. But now sandwiched between the first and the third is a second saying there in verse number 43, where Jesus said, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. This shows that Jesus can convert sinners because of his death. I say that because this saying, really, this promise was directed toward a man who was just hours from death. A man, according to the scripture, who was a thief being put to death by the Romans for stealing. And from what is written, we learn that this thief spoke to at least two different people while he was dying on his cross. And there are three things that I see in the words of this dying thief. First of all, look there at verse 39 and 40 and notice a rebuke, a rebuke. In verse 39, and one of the malefactors, a malefactor is a criminal, somebody that's committed a crime, an evildoer. And the Bible says one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him. It says one of the malefactors, because as most all of you know, there were two thieves that were executed along with the Lord Jesus at this time. But it says one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him. railed on the Lord Jesus, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. If you really are who you say you are, then prove it. Prove it by saving not only yourself, but us. Then in verse 40 it says, but the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? He rebukes that one thief for how he railed on the Lord Jesus. So there is a rebuke in his words. A second thing I see is a recognition, verse number 41. This man continues speaking to this other malefactor, and he says, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. That's a recognition. A recognition, number one, of his own guilt and worthiness of death. In the beginning of that verse, he tells the other thief, basically, we're getting what we deserve. But then if you look at the last part of the verse, you see a recognition of the innocence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, but this man, talking about Jesus, hath done nothing amiss. That is, he hadn't done anything wrong. We deserve what we're getting, but he doesn't, because he hasn't done anything wrong. Jesus Christ was a sinless Savior. He never did anything wrong. Never in his entire existence on this planet, never did he do anything to deserve what he was receiving at this time. So there's a recognition of his own guilt, but a recognition of the innocence of Jesus Christ. Then in verse 42, I see a third thing, and that's a request. This man said unto Jesus, he spoke to the malefactor, then he spoke to the mediator. He spoke to the man in the middle, amen. The Bible says there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The only reason that man has any hope right now, or ever will have any hope of having a right relationship with God, is because of Jesus Christ. That one mediator between God and man. So this criminal here, this malefactor, addresses the mediator, the Lord Jesus, and he says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That's where I took the title for the message today. He makes a request, and to that request, Jesus responds, verse 43, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Again, that shows that the Lord Jesus can convert sinners because of his death. And in this saying, this promise that Jesus made, this dying thief, I see three very wonderful truths about the salvation provided by Jesus Christ. That's what I want to give you. That's going to be the message this morning. It's not going to be anything deep or heavy. I feel like when we all leave, we will have an understanding of what the Lord wants us to see today. Let me say, first of all, and some of this, a lot of it is probably just going to be a reminder, but it doesn't hurt to be reminded all along of what's right. First of all, I want to say this. Salvation is simple. Salvation is simple. In verse number 42, the man made a request. He said very simply, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He makes a request of the Lord Jesus, and Jesus responds immediately by saying, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Did you notice that the man didn't get baptized? Amen. You notice that? He didn't get baptized. Did you notice that he didn't even join a church? He didn't walk down an aisle or shake a preacher's hand. He didn't get baptized by a preacher. He didn't take the sacraments. Did you notice that? He didn't go into a little booth and confess all of his sins to a priest. He didn't do that. This man didn't even live a godly life. As a matter of fact, he didn't live but just a few hours beyond this point right here. And in those hours, he wasn't living a godly life. In those hours, he was suffering and dying a horrible death because he was a criminal. So the man didn't live a godly life. He didn't turn over a new leaf and change everything about himself. He just made a very simple request of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what happened? He got saved. Isn't that wonderful? He just made a simple request and he got saved. He didn't do a whole lot of things. He didn't meet this laundry list of criteria that certain people would have laid out for him in order for him to be saved. He just made a request. That's all he did. In faith, he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And he got saved. Salvation is simple. It shows what Paul calls the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, man has muddied the water. Man will do it every time. If you want something messed up, just let man do it. We good at it, ain't we? We can mess something up. God can make something and it be perfect and wonderful and beautiful, and he can turn it over to man and it won't take 5 days and it'll be a mess. Just look at the Garden of Eden, right? Makes a perfect environment. Everything's wonderful just like it's supposed to be. And guess what? Man messed it up. Man's been messing things up ever since. And man today, I promise you, has muddied the water when it comes to salvation. With all of their opinions and their traditions and their religion and their ideas about salvation, there are many folk out there today who are genuinely concerned about being in a right relationship with God, but they have no idea how to do that. They hear all of this preaching that goes on, all of the different things that people say, and a lot of them, quite frankly, have been driven away from God and feel like they're hopeless because they don't believe there is any chance they could ever live up to the standards that some people say are requirements for salvation. They know deep down in their heart they'll never be able to attain to that. But you know what's even more wicked? Is the fact that the person who puts out that list of criteria knows in his heart he can't live up to it. Knows he can't. But that's where we are in this day and time when it comes to salvation. Man's muddied it all up. A lot of people just wondering what is right, what is the truth, how do I get saved, how do I know that I'll go to heaven when I die. Here's the very best thing to do with this and really anything. Just let the Bible be the authority. Where we get messed up is when we start getting away from the Bible and listening to what man has to say about things. You start listening to somebody's opinion and they're pontificating about religion and all that different stuff, and you'll walk away scratching your head wondering, is there any hope of heaven for me? Just stay with the Bible. That's the best thing you can do. When you look in the Bible, what you find is that salvation is simple. When you look at it right here in this passage, you see that it's simple. When you look at other scriptures in the Bible, you see that salvation is simple. It's not a hard thing. You know why it's not hard? Because Jesus Christ has already done the work. Do you know another thing that Jesus said while he was hanging on the cross? He said, "It is finished." Isn't that what he's saying? You know what that means? That means he took care of everything. His sacrifice, that one sacrifice, was completely sufficient to satisfy the demands of a holy God. Nothing else is required to satisfy God. That blood shed that day by the Lord Jesus was sufficient. Nothing else is needed. You don't have to work and scratch and claw and hang on to the end. Salvation is a simple thing. You see it here. You see it other places like Romans 10:13. Here it is. Simplicity. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that simple? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Acts chapter 16, a man said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Here's the answer. Isn't it good? Just how simple it is. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's amazing how the Bible can clear up the water, isn't it? Man will muddy it up every time, but you just let the Bible speak, let it be the authority, it'll clear it away to where you can see the truth that God wants you to see about anything, but most importantly about salvation. Salvation is simple. It's not hard. How simple is it? Well, when a sinner, you got to have a sinner to get saved. Okay. When you have a sinner, did we have a sinner right here? This was a man who was guilty, right? And this was a man who admitted he was guilty. That's a hard thing nowadays. People have been so brainwashed about how good man is, it's hard to find a sinner anymore. But I'm going to tell you, the gospel is still the gospel. Christ died for our sins, according to the scripture. You got to have a sinner to get saved. You got to have a sinner who knows they're a sinner and who will admit they're a sinner. Say, yes, I'm a sinner. If you don't see yourself as a sinner, then you don't ever see a need to be saved. You have to have a sinner, somebody that realizes they're guilty. That's what we have right here, a man who knew he was guilty. So whenever a sinner calls on the Lord in faith for their personal salvation, you know what happens? They get saved. Isn't that wonderful? It's just that simple. But let me say something real quick before I move on. I said when a sinner calls on the Lord in faith for salvation, not for healing of their body, not for protection in an accident, and not for the provision of a need. And the reason why I feel compelled to say that is because for years now, I've been doing just one-on-one personal witnessing, like every Christian ought to do, by the way. Just talking to people. Just asking them about their soul. Not asking them if they go to church. Asking them about their soul. Are you saved? I've asked people that many times through the years, and quite often I hear this. Oh, yes, preacher, I'm saved. Back 2 or 3 years ago, I was in a terrible accident. My car flipped over 5 times, went off down in a ravine. I called on the Lord there, and he saved my life. So I know I'm saved. Folks, calling on him to save you from an accident is not the same as calling on him to save your soul. And I've talked to other people who say, oh, yes, preacher, I know I'm saved, man. I was diagnosed with cancer. My body was riddled with cancer. I was eat up with it. I was on death's door, and I prayed and asked him to heal me, and he healed me. I know I'm saved. No, he just was good to you. He was good to you. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He saved your life, so maybe he could save your soul. But him healing your body of a disease does not mean you're saved. You can get protection from an accident. You can get healing from a sickness. You can have a need. Oh, yes, preacher, I know I'm saved, man. My family was in the throes of bankruptcy. Everything was about to go under, and we prayed and asked God to help us, and now we're doing all right. Thank the Lord for that. Amen. You can still go to hell, because that's not salvation. Salvation is simple when it's done right. When a sinner calls on Jesus Christ by faith for the salvation of their soul, they are saved. It's just that simple. Number two, let me move on. Not only do I see here that salvation is simple, I see, thank the Lord, that salvation is sudden. It's sudden. Look at it. The man makes a request, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You know what that shows? That shows that he got saved right then. You see that? He got saved suddenly, immediately, right there at that moment. It wasn't something that was going to happen later on. Thank the Lord, he didn't have much time. If salvation was something that didn't happen immediately, this man would have died and went to hell. He didn't have but just a few hours to live. He didn't have the opportunity to come down off that cross and prove himself worthy of salvation. It wasn't a process that had to unfold in his life. He made a request, and right then he got saved. Salvation is sudden. It's not a process. Whenever a sinner calls on the Lord Jesus Christ in faith, they're saved immediately. Immediately. Listen now. Salvation is not a reward that comes after we prove ourselves worthy. A lot of people think that, but that's not what salvation is. It's not a reward that you get. Salvation is a gift. It's not a reward for a life of good works or doing good. It's not a reward for good behavior. You know what I'm talking about? Some of this stuff that people think about salvation, they think because of how they've been raised. Things that have been said to them by teachers, by parents, by those sort of people. we kind of program people to think a certain way in life. We have to be careful about it. But we'll teach kids from early on, if you'll do right, you'll be rewarded for that. And when it comes to the Christian life, that's true. Once you get saved, if you live your life for the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, you will be rewarded for good behavior. That's not salvation. But a lot of people grow up in school, in the home, they are constantly told that if you'll do good, then you'll get a reward. So here's what they think when they start going to church. If I'll just do good long enough, then I'll be saved. God, have mercy on me. If I can just keep going to church and go through all of these things that people tell me I got to do, then somewhere along the way, I will finally achieve salvation. No. There's no such thing as a person being saved. You're either saved or you're lost. You are not in a process of being saved. There is no process of being saved. Salvation is not a process. It's not a reward for good behavior. It happens at a moment in time in a sinner's life. When is that moment? The very moment they put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when it happens. You know what that means? That means that if by chance you showed up here today lost, you can leave saved.
Amen.
That's what that means. Since salvation is immediate and not a process, that means you can leave in a different condition than you came here today. You don't have to start a process today. This doesn't have to be the beginning of your salvation here, where you started out by coming to church and now you're going to get in this process and you're going to keep going to church and you're going to change your life and you're going to do different and you're going to quit smoking and you're going to quit drinking and you're going to quit cussing. Good luck with that, all right? Down here in the South, good luck with that. But you're gonna keep on and keep on and keep on, and then finally one day you'll be worthy of salvation. No. If you're here today and you're lost, you can leave saved. There's no process to it. It's just as simple as you saying, hey, I'm a sinner. That's what the Bible says, isn't it? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's just as simple as you saying, I am a sinner. I know I'm guilty. I know I deserve to die and go to hell. That's what every sinner deserves. But Lord, I know you died for me. You died for my sins, and right now I'm asking you to be my Savior. You can be saved right here, right now. Matter of fact, you don't even have to wait to the invitation. You want to get saved, you can get saved right now. You can bow your head in that pew right where you sit, right now, and you can ask Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior. You know what He'll do if you mean what you say? He'll save you right now. Right now in this service, that's what He'll do for you. Salvation is simple. Number two, salvation is sudden. Number three, let me say this. I see here that salvation is securing. Securing. Look again at what Jesus said to this man. He said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You know what the Lord did? He made that man a promise.
Yes, sir.
He told him where he was going to be when he died.
Yes.
He told him that when he finally drew his last breath hanging on that cross, where he was going to be when he died. He gave him security about his eternity. Y'all see that?
Yes,
salvation is securing. Bible salvation doesn't leave a person wondering if they're saved. Bible salvation does not leave a person hoping that everything's going to work out when they die. That's the way a lot of people live. People that listen to man-made religion and traditions and opinions, they live hoping that everything's going to turn out all right when they die. That's in their mind. I just hope. I don't know the times that I've asked people, are you saved? Or do you know where you're going to go? Or do you know you're going to go to heaven when you die? Well, I hope so, preacher. That's not Bible salvation. Bible salvation gives you security about your eternal destiny. Whenever a person gets saved, their eternal destiny is secured right then.
Yes, sir.
Right then. Listen to me. And this is where you lose a lot of people. But it's like I said in Sunday school. If your problem is with the truth, that's you, okay? That's not my fault. I'm going to give you the truth. When a person gets saved, they never again have to worry about hell.
Yeah.
There is nothing they will ever do beyond that point that will change where they spend eternity. You know what that's called? That's called eternal security. That's what that's called. That's what I have today. Is that what you have? I don't have eternal security because I'm a preacher, because I'm a good person. Just talk to my wife a little while. She'll tell you what kind of person I am. Then I'm going to talk to yours, okay? We're going to get the truth on you. We're going to get my dirty laundry. We're going to get some of yours too. I don't have eternal security because I'm a preacher, because I'm a good person, a good husband, a good father, or anything like that. I'm not trying to be arrogant about it or conceited or come off as prideful about it at all. But at the same time, I'm not going to walk around and let some person who doesn't have security steal my security from me. I'm not going to apologize for saying I know I'm going to heaven when I die. Because I know that. And you know why I know that? Because I'm trusting in Jesus Christ. I'm not trusting in me. You know, if I was to stop preaching right now, just say I'm fed up with it, I don't ever want to preach again the rest of my life, and get out of church altogether and go back out in the world and never serve God for the rest of my life, I'm still going to heaven when I die. Because my eternal destiny was secured the very second that I put my faith in Jesus Christ. And there are people today who get mad at us Baptists, and they say, you preach that kind of stuff, and it causes people to go out and live in sin. Hey, I have eternal security. I'm not out living in sin.
Amen.
I have never met a Baptist in my life who said they believe in eternal security, who said, that means I can do whatever I want to. And just go out and do wrong. Now, I've met a lot of Baptists that do wrong. We got a church full of them right here this morning, don't we? And one in the pulpit. Whole mess of it. But I've never heard any Baptist say such nonsense. That's what people who are not Baptists and don't believe like we do say about us Baptists. But I have never heard a Baptist in my life who said, I have eternal security so I can go get drunk this weekend. Now, they may go get drunk this weekend, but they're not using their eternal security as an excuse to do wrong.
Amen.
And we don't need to ever be ashamed of what we believe, because what we believe is from the Bible. Okay. I have eternal security this morning. I know that if something happens to me before this day is over, where I'm going to be. Do you have that? You have that as security? That's what Bible salvation does for you. Look at it again here. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You know the wonderful thing to me about that expression? He said, today shalt thou be with me. They in paradise, well, that's just kind of like sort of the icing on the cake a little bit, or ever how you want to say it. But the most important thing is being with him. That's the security that we have, those of us that are saved. We know that one day we're going to be with him. That's the greatest thing about heaven, isn't it? Sometimes I wonder when you listen to people. Just every once in a while will somebody say, I'm looking forward to heaven because I'm going to be with him. And everything's going to be perfect. And all of that's great. That's great. That's part of heaven, and I thank God for all that. Amen. But the greatest thing about heaven is not all that. The greatest thing about heaven is him. Him. Being with him. I know that when I die, I'm going to be with him. The Bible says that for the child of God to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. To depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Jesus said, I'm going to show back up one day and I'm going to get you. that where I am, there ye may be also. That's heaven, folks, being with him. Christ and what he did for me. Do you have that security this morning? Let's bow our heads. Not saved? This can be the moment in your life where you get saved. This can be your day of salvation. You can leave here saved with security, knowing that when you die, and you might very well die before you get home today, but you can leave here knowing that whatever happens, whether you die today or you die 10 years from now or 20 years from now or 30 years from now, whenever you die or whenever Jesus Christ comes back, you'll be with him. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning thankful for the security we have because of your Son, the Lord Jesus. And I do pray that if there's somebody here today that's lost, that you would help them to get saved right now in this moment, to call on your Son by faith and put their complete confidence and trust in him and him alone for their salvation. We'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together.